Heaven, hell, tribulations, three of them. No, it's not a Bible story. It's what we need to create next as we roughly shape our novel. We're building our foundations with Stage D, our week four of Discovering Your Novel, our summer series for The Right Focus. Welcome to The Right Focus. We cover productivity, process, craft, and tools. Our podcast episodes last as long as it takes to fix a quick dinner, drive a short commute, or take a brisk walk. All through the summer months, we focus on the craft of writing novels and novellas and epics, from beginning ideas to prepping for publication, week by week by week. This week of the foundational stage for our novel sends us into the five hardest scenes we'll write. The zenith, our protagonist Heaven, an early evil win for the antagonist, and the final battle, along with betrayals. Why is the zenith difficult? We have to give our protagonist emotional and intellectual joy, all without being smarmy. Connect the zenith to the new dear desire, and the emotions will become triumphant rather than wallowing in platitudes. The early evil win needs to be a surprise, a shock for our protagonist, unheralded, obviously, but foreshadowed in a covert way. And the final battle? That can't repeat previous battles. It builds on the reader's surprise. And is life or death important, whether that life and death is physical, professional, or emotional? The twist and the betrayals have to be gut-wrenching for our protagonist. Emotional twists and betrayals, intellectual stabs in the back or shocks and expectations, physical betrayals that send our protagonist into a situation they didn't anticipate and from which they don't expect to escape without sacrifice. Ready to hear about the writing week? Let's do this. Our first day's work for this week is the zenith. We ended last week with a scene that set the protagonist's lowest point. As the novel grows into a complete body, bones, organs, connective tissue, and flesh, we may discover additional ways to wring the greatest angst from our nadir. Whatever changes made, never delete. We may decide to use that cut information at another point in a different book. Keep everything. Just remove it from this folder. Place it in an ideas file, either in the folder for this book or in a miscellaneous folder in File Explorer. We start this week with a happier stage of the novel, the zenith. As the nadir is the lowest point in the celestial sphere of astronomy, the zenith is the highest point of the sun or any star in the sky, directly opposed to the nadir. In the novel's zenith, the protagonist feels the greatest potential for success. Emotions soar, ideas succeed, strength triumphs, evil is defeated. Place this scene after the stress point, or after the nadir, or after one of the other tribulations that the protagonist has to face. This zenith forms part of that tribulatory scene. Since it could potentially follow either the stress point or the nadir, why are we writing the zenith now? Why not wait? Part of the reason, not the greatest reason, is that the muse needs a bit of joy after the stress point and the nadir. The muse needs to see happiness before tackling the final battle, an early twist, and a betrayal. These five scenes, from stress point to betrayal, are usually where our creative impulses bog down. We might slog through them. If our characters only have hardship to anticipate, if no hope is in the offing, then the entire novel process seems hopeless. Creativity slows until it achieves a snail pace. Once that happens, we either ditch the entire manuscript for something more exciting, or we inch along, never quite achieving anything. So, give your muse hope with the zenith. Here's the greatest reason to write the zenith at this point. The snippets of descriptors and character opinion and situational elements that form the zenith will leak into the tribulatory scenes, creating strong juxtaposition. Readers may not consciously see that dynamic juxtaposition of high with low or good against evil, but their subconscious will seek it. Subconscious notes that link up create reader satisfaction, please the reader, and sell the next book. So, while the zenith is a separate day, today's writing will be attached at the back end of a tribulation, the stress point, or the nadir, dragging the protagonist and the reader out of the morass of depressive sorrow. Our writing goal is joy for the zenith. At what does the protagonist succeed? How is the task difficult or complex? How can only our protagonist achieve the task? How did the protagonist develop the idea for the successful completion of the task? What cued the protagonist into the solution? What difficulties occurred with the solution? How was each difficulty overcome? What strengths did the protagonist need? Strength can be physical or mental, related to endurance or stamina, concentrated on an individual's ability to think creatively or juggle multiple thought processes simultaneously. Emotional strength is necessary to climb out of a pit. Weak people refuse to climb and wallow in misery. Trauma is different from weakness. Past traumas can be debilitating. If the protagonist has faced trauma, how do they overcome it? What builds this strength? A problem's complexity and intricacy exhibit the protagonist's intellect in solving it. Brute force is something that any character could have achieved. Add force to intricacy, and we come closer to the protagonist as the only person who can think up the solution. What soaring emotions will the protagonist feel? How will those emotions be expressed? How are the antagonist and minions defeated? Where is the protagonist in situation and setting after their defeat? Where are the evil people? How did they discover the protagonist succeeded? And what is their reaction? Structure goals for where we're writing now. Time for more notes. Look over today's writing. What must be foreshadowed? Make sure you have lots of sticky notes. What specific symbolic motifs developed that we now want to work into the tributary scenes? Who did we introduce in this scene? Slot that character's introduction into the writing plan. Put a couple of sticky notes, physical or electronic, to remind yourself to write them into other scenes. For the protagonist's trauma, locate other places where we can mention that trauma. Use it as a weakness in an early scene. How will the protagonist find the strength to overcome this weakness? Note that as well. On the second day this week, we have an early evil win. This scene sets up the stress point we developed last week. While several scenes will intervene, the early evil win with the stress point starts stacking the odds against the protagonist. Stacking the odds builds the protagonist into a heroic or noble character who overcomes multiple obstacles. Readers often identify with protagonists in novels and films, giving them a protagonist who exhibits noble thoughts and behaviors. Like the Sam Neill character in Jurassic Park 1 and 3, the protagonist should behave honorably and heroically. Sacrifice of life is not necessary to display honor and heroism. Doing the right thing, doing the difficult thing, doing what's best in the long term will display those characteristics. On the other hand, our antagonist needs to be dishonorable, cheating away to success. Short-term goals that care nothing about long-term consequences reveal an egocentric attitude. With this early evil win, contrast the antagonist and the protagonist in their ethics, willingness to sacrifice for others, and focus on goals that are short-term versus long-term. Our writing goal is that the evil wins but lacks morals. In the early evil win, the antagonist either defeats the protagonist or creates a successful obstacle that prevents the protagonist from achieving a long-term goal. What occurs? How does the protagonist react? How does the antagonist react? Where will the protagonist go from here? Remember, in this early part of the novel, the protagonist is reactive. They do not know the antagonist's next step, but they will fear it or dread it. A full realization of the antagonist is still to come, but the shadows of that realization have grown darker and more fully silhouetted. What does the antagonist plan next? Whether you put it into the story or not, you need to know. Our structure goals for today is to look for ways to foreshadow the early evil win. Also, note times when both the protagonist and the antagonist look back on this early evil win for their contrasting opinions as they go forward into the story. Third this week is the final battle, the ultimate showdown between the protagonist and the antagonist. At the end of the final battle, the antagonist is completely defeated. When we're writing a series, we may have a master antagonist as well as specific antagonist for each book. The master antagonist will only be defeated in the final book. The specific antagonist for each book must be defeated. Otherwise, we're writing a series of cliffhangers. Most readers don't appreciate cliffhangers unless they can read all the books of the series in a binge weekend. The final battle should place the protagonist in the greatest jeopardy. The stakes are high in this scene. One or the other of the two primary characters will die, whether the death is physical, personal, or professional. The antagonist should fully expect to win. Minions are in place. The odds seem stacked in the antagonist's favor. The protagonist will have allies. Even though the odds seem stacked, they are not. The protagonist has the winning ace. Harry knew that Voldemort's wand wouldn't really work for him. Frodo had Sam Gamgee. While these are quest, action, adventure, the story structure is clearly revealed in such novels and films. The scenes are built just the same as in other genres of fiction. The ace in the final Godfather film is the nephew who will inherit the role. The death of his love, the sinister evil he has partaken of, all structure him as a more ruthless godfather than any before. Consider the final battle scenes in other books and films. Look for the ace that will help the protagonist succeed. All of them are there. None of them are coincidence, luck, happenstance. I Write and Go is the big takedown. What sets up this final encounter? Describe the setting. Make it come alive. This is the climactic scene of the entire novel. Readers should see it, hear it, smell it, feel it physically and emotionally. What are the deadly consequences? How do both the protagonist and the antagonist understand these consequences? How does this understanding of consequences affect each of them? How will we show that the antagonist expects to win? Gloating? Sneering? How do the minions behave? What special skills has the protagonist learned or acquired that defeats the antagonist? What occurs in the final battle? Blow by blow. What will the allies and the minions do? One of the interesting side notes in the last Harry Potter are the evil minions who flee the battle. Harry's weak allies fled before the battle. The strong ones remained. What will the antagonist do at the end of the final battle? How will the surviving minions behave? What will the antagonist do at the end of the final battle? How will the surviving minions behave? What will our protagonist do at the end of the final battle? Structure goes for this day. We should see additional characters coming onto the stage. They will need specific descriptive identifiers, either for behavior or appearance. These characters have to be introduced much earlier in the book. Where will that be? Anyone actively used in the final battle must appear in one other scene. Consider the number of times that Bellatrix Lestrange and Draco Malfoy's father appeared. Twice before the final battle is acceptable. 3 is considered the charmed number. Any ace also needs its separate introduction and use. Note down the 2+ times that the special skill to defeat the antagonist is learned or acquired. Success does not usually happen immediately. Perhaps the protagonist can try out the skill only to fail. Practice is necessary. How many times will the protagonist practice? How many times will the protagonist fail? The incidences of failure must lessen as we approach the novel's final battle. Otherwise, the success will seem like coincidence, which is not acceptable as a solution for readers. On the 4th day, we have the early twist. Great writers know how to keep readers guessing, whether that speculation is related to character development or plot structure. The early twist scene. Our 4th scene this week adds irony to the novel. Irony is the difference between what readers expect to happen versus what will actually happen, otherwise known as situational irony. Another way to look at irony is the difference between what appears to be versus what actually is, which is classic irony. In situational irony, something will happen and the crushing ball will tilt in the opposite direction from what was expected. In classic irony, a character can appear to be one way but is actually another. Our writing goals is to choose a twist. To twist the protagonist, we write a scene where the protagonist expects an event that will be helpful to them. What is the expectation that the protagonist wants to exult over? How does that expectation change? How is that expectation change foreshadowed? Yep, foreshadowing is necessary. We will need to blind the protagonist as well as the reader. Foreshadowing creates dramatic irony. This is not a surprising, completely unexpected event. The twist can be a shock, but we need to have planned for its occurrence. Remember, shun the appearance of coincidence. To twist a character, we can have that person seem to be on the side of the protagonist, but not be. Save this one for the betrayal upcoming. Or, we can have that person appear to be on the side of the antagonist, but actually is not. Choose this one for the early twist. One of the more memorable characters in a recent novel is one that appeared to be employed by a minion of the antagonist. She was trapped because the minion had evidence that he threatened to use against her brother, who she had raised after their parents died. When she finally located and removed the evidence entangling her brother in evil, she also collected more evidence against the minion and the antagonist, a neat ace for our protagonist. She presented all of this to the protagonist. Suspicious at first, the protagonist neglected looking at the full evidence until later in the novel. We always want more than one twist in a novel. We can write both of these scene choices. This novel belongs to us. We can do whatever we want. For additional guidance, look at the questions for the early evil win. Remember to write the protagonist's shock at the outcome. Our structure goals is to remember to make notes to foreshadow the situational irony will not fall in the direction that the protagonist anticipates. For the classic irony with a character, the notes we make can be as simple as taking a phone call overheard by the protagonist that sets up the importance of a relationship and the character's background and goals. Our final scene this week is another doom and gloom. It's the betrayal. One of the most painful experiences that anyone has is betrayal. This is more than a promise not fulfilled. Betrayal hits everyone in the gut. The scene for betrayal usually will occur before the stress point or before the final battle. Someone that the protagonist depended upon greatly just when they are most needed betrays them. Study the meaning of the word betrayed. It is not disloyalty or infidelity or unfaithfulness. It is treachery. It is as deep as a heart stab from behind when the protagonist expected a hug. Betrayal takes away hope. Of the 7 scenes in the plot 7, this may be the most important emotional one. Don't skimp on it. Our writing goal is to stab our protagonist's heart. Who does the protagonist believe is a match in personal goals and wishes, hopes and dreams? How will that character betray the protagonist? Why will that character betray them? This is the most important question. When the betrayal is discovered, the character will try to justify it. No justification is acceptable, but actions can be mitigated. The reason that no justification is acceptable is that an ultimate sacrifice resulted from the betrayal. Who will die? Remember, death can be physical, personal, or professional, but physical death is the strongest. How will this death affect the protagonist? How will the death create a huge hole in the protagonist's heart? After the early loss of the illusory dear desire last week, the death caused by this betrayal will make the protagonist question everything. When the lost person, the one who dies, had the protagonist's goal as their own, then achieving that goal becomes doubly important to the protagonist. The betrayal will cause the antagonist to gloat, but the antagonist will lack the protagonist's emotional depth. The antagonist could care less about the person who dies. They are merely removed from the chessboard, never to return. Our structure goals for this week has to do with that additional character, which we now need to weave into earlier scenes of the story. This character needs to be sympathetic to the readers, not too much so, or everyone will automatically guess correctly that they will die. Remember the importance of surprise? We also have a second character to introduce. The traitor can be sympathetic or not. Whether we choose to redeem the traitor by having him sacrifice himself for the goal is our choice. Remember Boromir in the Fellowship of the Ring? Knowing the traitor's reason for the betrayal is crucial. If the betrayal occurs because the traitor is loyal to the antagonist and lied to the protagonist, then we will need to write the antagonist giving instructions to the traitor. This creates dramatic irony where the audience knows the information that the protagonist does not. When we have dramatic irony occur without a dire result, followed by a scene where the dire result does occur, we have successfully outwitted the reader who expects the betrayal, but not yet. Finally, we need to make notes about the protagonist's confrontation with the traitor. When the traitor attempts to justify an unjustifiable action, the protagonist cannot just forgive the traitor. Even when the reasons for the betrayal were completely understandable, betrayal removes all trust. This character will now lurk on the far sidelines of the novel. If the traitor feels guilt, They can become involved again as the ace in the final battle, or they can provide the ace, having searched for it as a means to redeem themselves. If the traitor feels no guilt, then they need to be shown once more in the antagonist's direct employ, and the antagonist doesn't trust them. That's reality. Do we want them to receive justice for their actions? Should they? What will the readers want? Don't pull them. Think like them. Remember, we are a reader first, writer second. This week and last week, as we discovered the major skeletal frame of our novel, are the hardest two for creativity. Inspiration for this week comes from William Faulkner, that long-winded writer of Southern decadence, which I once thought meant sordid, but actually means the decay of the plantation society. Talking short for once, Faulkner said, "If a story is in you, it has got to come out." He's right. If that novel is in us, then the plot 7 scenes come out. They may need a little tinkering, but revision is always easier than the first sketch. Next week is easier, I promise. It will seem fruitless, but it's an exercise that the brain can trip over and interfere with all your later writing. So do it now and avoid any later stoppages. Thanks for listening to The Right Focus, a podcast for writers at all levels, hosted by M.A. Lee with the assistance of Remy Black and Edie Runes from Writers, Inc. Books. All through the summer months, our focus is the craft of writing. We are discovering your novel. From beginning idea to prepping for publication, we'll work through the process stages of foundations to story, envisioning the story, analyzing story before, during, and after the draft, harvesting the story through revisions and enhancements, and prepping the story for publication. Many of these preps and guides are useful setups for the National Novel Writing Month in November. That's writing only, you know, no idea work. We can also use this information to solve issues with stories that we've abandoned. All those stories are crying in the wilderness. Time to rescue them with the right focus. Show notes for this and other episodes can be found at therightfocus.blogspot.com. Write to us at winkbooks@aol.com. Remember, whatever occurs, write on.